Of all the glory, all the honor, all the worship, all the adoration. You are more than enough. And Lord, you do not depend on what we see in the natural to meet our needs. For your word says that you will meet all of our needs according to your riches in glory. So, Father, we tap by faith into that which is in glory, and we thank you for the release of that which is in glory into our present, into our lives in the now. Let your riches in glory counteract and make invalid every proclamation and every agenda of the enemy. Invade our now with the fullness of your grace and your glory, that your awesomeness might be made manifest. For you are God, and you are God alone, all by yourself. There is no other. And we bless your holy name. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that this day the enemy flees before us in every direction, overwhelmed by the manifestation of your awesome power. For you have broken through every limitation of the natural to do the supernatural in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are timeless in your dealings. You are beyond matter. You are beyond space. You are beyond time. You are beyond every issue there is. And your glory is exalted in our midst. Blessed be your holy name. Shut up the mouths of the enemy by manifesting your glory in us and through us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you all this wonderful day. And thank God for you all. I was service on Sunday. Went well. Oh, praise God. I was thinking, coming down, about where we were. And last weekend, we're in a very special place, but just like usual, we didn't see the specialty of the place. We're in Niagara Falls. We didn't see the falls. We didn't even go close to it. But we had a wonderful time. The assignment of the Lord was accomplished, and the name of the Lord was greatly exalted. You know, sometimes you know that you have you have really, you know, hit the home run because of all the agitation and all of the attempted attacks of the enemy. So I know we did good. We accomplished what we needed to accomplish for His glory and for His honor. Amen. And we put to naught every agenda of Satan against us, against this ministry, against God's plans, against our leadership team, and every satanic agenda is destroyed. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil is a deceiver, and his deceptive ways will not reign in our midst. Praise God. The Word of God says in Proverbs 9 and verse 8, and we looked at that. I believe that's where we stopped last week. 9, 8. That's where we stopped, right? I think. We got up to verse 9. Okay. Well, we might have just touched verse 9 a little bit. We just dipped our toe into the water. So we'll go swimming in it. Okay, it says in verse 8, reprove not a scorner. And we talked about that last week. Scorning doesn't just happen. A scorner is somebody who's fallen through the cracks very intentionally because he is walking with those who are dishonoring God. He is standing with them, and then he begins to sit with them and begins to say the same things that they say, because he's limited in his mind. And you speak to him, the Word of God says, he will hate you. And basically what God's Word is saying is, listen, people already hate you. Don't add to it. you see his corner, just get away from him. Scorners are people that used to be most likely believers. They end up scorning the purposes of God. They don't want to hear anything about God because they have separated themselves from God. And so now they scorn. They poo-poo the things of God. While they scorn you, they're calling you gullible. Look at you. You still believe that thing? Look at you. If God this, if God that. They say that a great percentage of those who are part of the Church of Satan were ex-ministers. They were priests, reverend fathers, priests from the mainline churches. And now and then you find those that were part of the Pentecostal charismatic movement. And their scorning, again, comes from sitting around, walking and standing and chatting with people that have their own issues. Their issue is not your issue. Don't let other people's lack of faith impact your life. Remember one of the teachings we had recently, and we talked about true worship and fake worship. Remember that? Okay. A fake worshiper is going to be a scorner, because he's not moving by faith, walking by faith, wants to bend God's word to his own pleasure rather than using his faith to please God. He's a person that is living for God, so quote-unquote, based on what he can get from God. So if God gives me this, I will love him. Listen, you've heard me say it before, and let me say it again for the benefit of those who may not have heard it or who may have not paid attention. God sowed agape love. That's love for you in spite of you. That is the seed. He loved you in spite of you. He loved you in spite of your disappointment towards him. And guess what he's going to do? Because he sowed that seed for your deliverance and your healing and redemption. God is, let me say it again, God is, the third time, God is going to seemingly disappoint you at some point in your life. He's not going to come through for you when you thought he should come through, and then he's going to ask you, do you still love me? That's the annoying part. What do you mean, do I still love you? You just mess things up for me and you're asking me if I love you? Yeah, he's going to do that to you, because that's exactly what you did. And that's how he loved you, in spite of your disappointing him. And every seed will produce after its kind. Ultimately, God did not disappoint. You know, Mary and Martha in John 11 had good reason to be disappointed. They'd taken care of Jesus, fed him, clothed him, ministered to him, and then they had a need. Their brother, whom Jesus loved, was sick and dying. And they sent word to him to come. And he said, this sickness is not unto death. And by the time they got back, the Bible tells us that Lazarus died. But Jesus said, this sickness is not unto that, but that the Father be glorified. But the guy is dead. And he's dead 3 days, going to the fourth day. And then Jesus decides to come, and he tells his disciples, let's go see Lazarus. He's sleeping. So they said to him, well, if he's sleeping, then he must be doing okay. Because they had already planned on killing Jesus right there in Bethany. They wanted to stone him. And he left town. Now he's saying he's going back there. So they said, if he's sleeping, then he must be doing okay. Then Jesus, our Lord, blots out and says, the guy is really, he's dead. Huh? And I'm sure you can hear pain drop, because they all heard Jesus say, this sickness is not unto death. Now, the same Jesus is saying the guy is dead. Which one are we supposed to believe? He's dead or he's not dead? But the disciples didn't know what Jesus was going to do. We have the vantage point of seeing the end of this particular story. And so many times, The disappointment that people feel is based on not continuing. You don't know what's on the other side of this story. You're disappointed. And if you're in that particular setting, it's easy to scorn. The people said, when Jesus wept, wasn't it possible for this guy who healed the sick and blah, 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 to at least deliver this guy? Remember, these were people that loved the Lord. He could have, from where he was, spoken a word. If he had time to say, this sickness is not unto death, just like he healed the centurion's son or Jairus' daughter or whoever else, he could have just spoken the word, like the centurion said, just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For that. But he didn't do that. And when you come to that place where you know God can do something, and he didn't do it, you can fall into that trap that this corner falls into. You know, the fact is, we know God knows the past, the present, and the future. Yes? He says to Jeremiah, before you were born, while you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I called you. He knows every detail. When Mom and I were getting married, God did not just see Mom and I getting married. He saw our three sons, or our two sons and a daughter. That was still not a mistake. He saw our seven grandchildren. He saw our great-grandchildren. He saw all of that. In fact, when Mama was getting born and I was getting born, he saw all of that. When our parents were getting married, he saw all of that. And he sees, by the grace of God, if I live that long, and I will, my great-great-grandchildren. Why do I say that? God knows about the problem before I get to it. So before I prayed the prayer, he had billions of years. He had millions of years. He had thousands of years. He had hundreds of years to solve the problem before I got to the problem. So the problem should be solved before I got there. That is one phase of thinking about it. So that's a frustrating aspect of it. So with the person that is scorning has all kinds of reasons to be scorning. But the child of God goes beyond that and says, I'm not serving God because of things. What God is going to do for me or God is not going to do for me, that's not why I'm serving God. I'm serving God, period, because I love God, period. Pow. Even though he slays me, yet will I serve him. Job is going through his mess. And God is seeing the double portion that is going to restore to him. And God is, the problem is, The way that God is going to reveal and manifest that double portion is based on whether he will still continue to follow instruction. Like what? Blessing his friends that were busy harassing him and calling him names and telling him all kinds of stuff. You're bad. You did this. That's why this and that's why it was because of you don't pray enough. That's why it happened. You're a mean guy. You rip people off. That's why it happened. People can come up with all kinds of reasons. But God rebuked them. Job is not none of that. And the place that you and I must come to that helps us not to be scornful people is finding our identity in God. Knowing who you are in God. Don't define yourself based on what people say about you, good, bad, or ugly. Even when they are right. Even if they were right. In the accusation, still don't define yourself based on that, because the word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, I wasn't walking after the Spirit, I was walking in the flesh. I repent, now I walk in the Spirit. The condemnation leaves. It's not that we don't do wrong things. It's that when we do wrong things, we don't take responsibility for it. That, remember, that was what Saul's issue was. And that's why he was a fake worshiper. Remember that. If we are faithful, true worshipers of God, we take responsibility for our shortfallings and whatever else and say, God, it is true. I did it wrong. I repent. But people who scorn don't take responsibility. They don't get what is available to them in Christ Jesus. And therefore, without the benefits of that which is available to them in Christ Jesus, they suffer the life of living in a meager state. There is no more joy in their lives, and God help you if you are joyful. You're the fool for being joyful. What are you happy about? It's like saying to somebody, good morning. And the person says, what is so good about this morning? That's what scornful people are. He says, but if you rebuke a wise man, who is a wise man? A wise man comes, hears the word of God, and does it. And if he's not doing it, he changes and begins to do it. A wise man, if you rebuke him, he says, he will love you. He will say, thank you. Thank you for pointing that to me. You know, I didn't see that. Wow, how did I miss that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I didn't think about it that way. That's interesting. But blessed be the name of the living God. That's what a wise man does. He's getting rebuked because he's doing something wrong. You don't rebuke somebody that's doing something right. He's a wise man and he thanks you for it. The wise man sometimes does a wrong thing. He's tired and starts talking crazy. You rebuke him. You know, he's facing a challenge and he starts speaking unbelief. You say, brother, not so. Don't go there. Don't be saying that. You're right. You're right. Thank you for pushing the brakes on me. You're right. I'm allowing this craziness to affect me. I'm so glad you're my friend. You didn't let me start going down this rabbit hole. Wise people do that. He says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Some people don't like instruction. Some people don't like that somebody else sees things in a different way because they think they know it all. Who are you to tell me what to do? You know, remember the Lord makes a statement. The statement was, the children of this world are wiser than my kids. It's a remarkable statement. Because if you think about it, the people of the world, many times, learn from each other. They research and they pull information and they make implications or applications with what they've learned from pulling information together. So from the wisdom of so many, they become wiser. From the information, the same 2 + 2 = 4 that you and I learned, those simple arithmetic became mathematics, became algebra, became geometry, became, you know, logistics, add math, and same simple cellular statement by pulling information together and growing it and learning, okay, why do numbers work like this? Now, some people by application are able to do mathematical equations just as fast as a calculator, and sometimes even faster. You didn't believe that. There are people like that. And they are not necessarily old people. You give them any number because they know how numbers work. As you are putting it together, they are giving you the answers. Faster than you typing it on your calculator. Boom, 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 boom. How are you doing that? I just know how it works. The same is true in the realm of the Spirit. Wise people get wiser by taking instruction and coming to the place of understanding. He says, you teach a just man and he will increase in learning. A just man increases in learning when you teach him. Do we want to increase in learning? Then we must receive teaching. Now, truth is truth in any language and in any application. What is true is will always be true. Amen? I have no objections in learning how to manage money from a guy, whether he's a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist, or he could be whatever it is that he is. Because there are certain principles that work money. If you know how to handle money and know the principles of how to manage money and work with money, and you bring 10 people and give them the exact amount of mortgage, let's say $200,000. Gave them $200,000. Let's see who's going to pay off theirs the fastest. You might find out of the 10 of them, let's put it this way, I think this will explain it better. $250,000 we give to every one of them. And they have to pay a certain amount. The amount is $125, or let's say, let's make it bigger, $1,000 every month. Okay? $1,000 every month. Just for two, from two of them, just from two. Person number one pays $1,000 every month. Person number two pays $1,000 every month. Person number one pays $1,000 at the end of the month. Person number two pays $500 every 2 weeks. Guess what? The person who's paying $500 every 2 weeks is going to pay his mortgage off faster than the person who paid $1,000. Yes? Okay. What's the difference? Understanding how it works. Understanding how money works. Now you bring a third person into it. The person says, I don't want it that way. I want to, I have a line of credit over here, and I'm going to attack this particular bill from a different, totally different perspective. This guy using money is doing the exact same thing, and decides he's going to, let me not even do that. The third guy, same $1,000. Third guy says, you know what? I'm going to pay $250 every week. Guess who's going to pay his mortgage down faster? The third guy. But they're all paying $1,000 each. The difference is how they choose to attack the problem. Person number four, oh my Lord, person number four can take that same $1,000 and be paying off his mortgage and buy another house. Becomes a landlord using the same amount of money. Number four person, because of how he's handling it, is pulling from his equity, paying off, using his equity to fire out his mortgage on house number one, and he's renting one house and pulling from that house, and by the time you know it, he's buying a third house. They all had the same amount of money. The way they attack the problem is totally different. The application is of understanding. Understanding. Now I can go on and find out what number five over there is going to do and what number six might do. But the fact is, many times we're clueless. Some people know how to use that same money, invest it, and from their investment be doing the same thing. The law was pay $1,000. But we don't have to do, you know, I just pay $1,000, right? Yes. And one person is already buying a house while paying their mortgage down because he understood another principle. Hey, me paying my mortgage down faster from house number one is not the issue. I want to get more. And at the end of the day, I am wealthier because I am not just using my money, I'm using other people's money. Because when I bought the other house, that guy is paying the rent over that house, and I'm taking from that rent, and I still have equity in my house. I'm still paying off this house while I'm buying that, and from the equity from that house, I'm buying another house over there. But we all started the same. It's increasing and learning how it all works. That makes sense? Okay. So, but if you're not willing to learn, you don't know. You don't know because you're not willing to learn. But when you learn and you apply what you learn, you grow. Many times that's the difference. The Lord gives a parable of the guy that had five talents and two talents and one talent, and how they used what they had, and how they doubled it, and how he took from the one that didn't do anything with what he's got. Because if the principle is right, at least the one who had one would have gotten to two. But his attitude was that of a scorner. Remember what he said? I know that you're an austere man. You like reaping where you didn't sow. You're a hard man. So I decided to bury. Thank you very much. I like that. That was really quick. He says, then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. He says he knows him. Can you imagine? He says, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. You're a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering when thou hast not strawed. So this is not a man that loved his master. And because he is a scornful, wicked-hearted man, he buried what his master gave to him and says, lo, here thou hast that is thine. I didn't lose it. Here it is, giving it back. I know you're a hard man. What does that mean? If I blow this money, you might ask me for it. So I'm giving you back what you gave to me. I hid thy talent in the earth. So he put the talent, put it in the earth, covered it. He knew where he hid it, where he planted it. But this kind of thing does not grow. Money dug in the ground does not grow. Money invested grows. Yeah? So we do not only need to know who it is that we're dealing with, we need to know the material we're dealing with. We have to have an understanding. And in that understanding, increase. Now, what is the depth of this understanding that we're talking about? Boils down to what the Word of God calls the fear of the Lord, being the beginning of wisdom. And remember that the fear of the Lord, when God used that statement, he used it in reference to Abraham. When Abraham went to sacrifice his son at a place chosen by Jehovah called Moriah, when he was going to slay the son, and the Word of God says God stopped him. Then it says in Genesis 22, he says, now I know that you fear me, that you have the fear of God, because you did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. So, ultimately, the fear of the Lord, which is here, it says, is the beginning of wisdom, is about us learning to know God, unlike the guy in Matthew who says, I knew thee. But Word of God says, it is the people that know God that do exploits. You're saying you know God, but you're not acting like somebody who knows God. Because if you knew God, you would do exploits with what I have given to you. That makes sense? The reality is, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning Noah. He says, Noah, having been warned by God of things, watch this, not seen as yet, moved with what? Fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He moved with fear to prepare an ark. You see that? Okay. And he says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, not of things not as seen as yet, moved with fear. Take out those two commas, and you see, by faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Take out those two other commas, by faith, Noah, prepared an ark. Why am I doing this separation? We think many times that God is responsible for doing what we are called to do. Notice, God did not build the ark. Did God build the ark? Who built it? Noah. Many times we end up being people who scorn because we do not know the relationship between faith and works. We assume that everything that has to do with faith has to be altogether without me being involved. But that's not true. Faith without works is what? Dead. Why? Because it abides alone. It abides alone. So faith is powerful, it's high up there, but no works. Faith dies. The vision dies. The ability, without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please God. So if faith dies, we cease to please God. But if we believe, we act. Act on what? The instruction. Because God gave him the instruction. He did not just build an ark. He built an ark based on specs. That makes sense? God gives us specs. See, this is what I want you to do. For example, God gave us specs. There are some things that you're going to see in a few, not too long from now, based on instructions that I had from God concerning Operation Full House. But one of the things he said to us was adopt a role. Do you remember me talking about adopt a role? Do you remember me talking about that? Adopt a role. What is adopt a role? Where you're sitting, you say, I am believing God to fill this role. I'm praying, believing, and inviting and doing whatever it is that you need to do to fill that role. You don't necessarily have to be sitting in that role because you might not occupy that role alone. But you're saying, this role is going to be filled. Father, I thank you. That was an instruction. How many have worked on that? You've worked on that. Yeah, I see your action on it. Okay? Now, if we all do the same, guess what? In no time. Because not only are you doing it for their benefit, when that person comes and that person stays, you tell them, I prayed for you before you got here. I said, God, fill this place. You see that seat that you're sitting right there? It was prayed for. I believe God for you. Oh, God loves you. God loves you. You know what? Why don't we believe somebody together? Believe for a row together. Two of us, let's believe. Go for row number 5 over there. Let's pray for it to be filled. That row might be filled with the people that you invited. It might be filled with the people that somebody else invited. Doesn't matter. We're just praying that that will be filled. And this role, Row number 20 over there, that row has to be filled. Father, we thank you. We're growing. We're working with the specs, the instruction. And God will give specific instructions to individuals, and they will begin to do their thing in bringing about the manifestation of that divine purpose of God. Amen? After all, he that winneth souls is what? Is wise. In one of the things we talked about he that winneth souls being wise, it's not that, it's not just the fact that, oh, I'm wise for winning souls, but rather I received wisdom to know how to win souls. Because everybody comes differently to the Lord. Some people can only come with a ginger hand. Some people need a 10 by 14. That doesn't exist, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, God gives us insight on what to do and how. We grow in wisdom. And then it says, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. God, I want to know you. And when you know God, you receive understanding. Now, this is important. And I will stop there. We just covered two verses. We're back to our step by step. The pace is getting slower again. Understanding. What's that? This is a very important word, understanding. It has many tentacles to it. When a person has understanding, they are not easily deceived and not easily overwhelmed because they understand. So, if you have understanding of what addition is, multiplication is, division is, subtraction is, if you have an understanding, you know that numbers are affected by whatever what will you call multiplication, addition, subtraction, division, what will you call those? Huh? I didn't get it. Did you? What? Fractions? No. Yes, operations. Yeah, operations. If you understand those operations and the protocol that those operations go by, then you will not be deceived. For example, 2 + 2 = what? 4. Plus. You flip the plus into on its side, and it becomes multiplication, right? So 2 × 2 = 4. Still 4. Okay. 3 + 3 = 6. Flip the plus sign to multiplication. 3 × 3 = 6? 9. Okay. Understanding what the operation is and what you are dealing with determines your capacity to apply. Even though the numbers may be the same, the application of those operations may give you different answers. And no matter which way you flip it, 3 plus 4 is what? 3 plus 4 is what? 4 plus 3 is what? Understanding gave you that idea. The numbers were different, were placed differently, but the answer is still the same. 3 times 4 is what? 4 times 3 is what? Same thing. Understanding brought you to that. Are we together so far? 2 divided by 2 is what? 1. 2 minus 2 is what? Okay. Now let me confuse you a little bit. 100 times 0 is what? 100 divided by 0 is what? 100 divided by 0 If you try to do that on your calculator, I'm sure it's going to say error, 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 error. So, understanding brings you to that place where you become aware. Aware of what is available to you and how it works. Understanding on one particular level in the natural will give you natural results. For example, one burger that serves one person cannot serve 10,000 people. No matter how much I try to split it in the natural. But in the supernatural realm, in understanding God, one burger will feed 1 million people and will have leftovers. So, in walking in the things of God, you've got to understand where you are. Am I operating in the natural or am I operating in the supernatural? I was talking to somebody recently, and they were sharing a testimony with me. He said they were trying to do a family thing and, you know, a family trip, and they cost out this trip, and it was going to cost them $40,000+. They didn't have the money to spend on doing something like that. It's too expensive. So one day, a few days later, I'm just working on their computer, and an ad popped out. To check this ad. And what was going to cost them $40,000+ was now costing $20,000. So, voila! And they had the last available rooms for that particular deal that they were pursuing. I'm listening to this. Bill is cut to half. You had the last rooms. I said to the person, I said, you know what? What just happened here was not your understanding of how to manage your money. What just happened here was God supernaturally provided for you. I said, those are two different things. I said, and then I went further. I was sensing in my spirit that this was even more deeper than that. I said, you know what? I think, seriously, that you got that miracle from another dimension. She stopped. I was talking to her on the phone. You know, you might just be right. I said, why do you say that? He said, I called my agent that normally will do these purchases for me. I told my agent what had happened, and my agent went looking for this sale, and there was no such sale. I said, you understand what I'm talking about? It came from another dimension. And if you live your life only on this natural plane, you will not get the benefits of his riches in glory. There are some glory manifestations in this realm, which means then I must not limit myself to just what happens in this realm. Now, there is the point where God may make both realms meet. Like the woman with the pot of oil, who had her whole family delivered from slavery and had a booming oil business at the end after paying off her bills. Well, where did that oil come from? She must, by her act of obedience, hooked up to an invisible hose that kept on pumping oil through. Do you understand what I mean? So, too many times when I pray, when you pray, when we pray as the people of God, we are so stuck to these natural solutions. Now, I cannot sit down here and tell you I understand everything God does, because sometimes I am totally clueless on how he decides to do what he's going to do, or decides when not to do what I know he can do. And this is easy, God. This is easy. You can just do this, and then this will happen, and then we'll get this problem solved. And it's like he went on vacation. What are you doing here? Do you still trust me? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Not a lick of sense that you are in debt, and it's the debt that is meaning you losing your children. And God says, through his prophet, go borrow some more. What sense does that make? Does it make any sense to me in the natural? But the end of the story, the problem was solved. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And bottom line, that statement just simply says to us, listen, follow instruction. You know God? Then come under understanding. Understanding. Are you with me so far? Understanding. Stay under the one who stands. He stands. He's not flicking. He's not wavering. He's not bending over this way or that way. He is. Stand in. Stay under. That's what patience is. Hupomone. That's what patience is. Understanding is patience. You just waiting on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not what? Faint. So next time you think about understanding, think about it in terms of application, but also think about it as staying under the one who stands unstoppable, unshakable. Praise the Lord. Well, let us stop there for tonight, and we'll pick it up next week. As we allow the grace of God to help us be men and women of discernment. Praise God. We'll have our prayer meeting on Friday, and then next week, Friday, is Good Friday. That is going to be a full service. We're not going to have a series of services. We're just going to have that Friday evening. Amen? No. Yeah, it was 6:30. So it's a special service, 6:30. So that's how we're going to work that particular Friday. This Sunday is Purim on the 24th, and we'll have an encounter with the Lord on that one also. But we're not going to do two-day, three-day meetings for these ones. I did not receive instruction from the Lord to do that, so I am not. Okay? Don't want to just do stuff because that's what we do. So we're just going to do what is required of us and accomplish that which God wants us to accomplish, and let him do what he needs to do in us and with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's get ourselves ready to honor God with our giving, but before we do so, let us pray. If you may, rise with me. Father, we have received instruction from your word. It is very clear that when we receive instruction from you and we follow through with it, there will be people that walk in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, walking in the fear of God. And Lord, O God, you have revealed and spoken to us about many things tonight. And we embrace the truth of your word. And we ask that our lives will truly honor you as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to be men and women that are discerning. Help us, O God, to decopulate from those things that are of the world, the things of the flesh, the things that are carnal, the things that are not of the spirit. That will decopulate from those things that will drag us in the wrong direction. And Lord, O God, that will copulate with you, locking arms, understanding, O God, that you are the God who directs us. Father, like never before, we need your wisdom. We need knowledge and we need understanding. We need to tap into the riches of your glory. We need, O God, to to see with the eyes of faith. For your word says, Lord, that it is the things that you see the Father doing that you did. And we're asking, oh God, for supernatural eyesight to be able to peer into the things in the realms of glory, in the dimensions of glory, and to be able to bring into this natural realm that which is in heaven. Your word says, oh God, that as we get to know you, that we will be able to plant the heavens. Father, may that grace come upon our lives now, that will plant the heavens here in the earth. And Lord, oh God, that in planting the heavens in the earth, that we will stay under the canopy of the grace of heaven on earth. Not depending on governments, not depending on companies, not depending on the grocery stores, not depending on whatever it is, the police, the doctors, and whatever else there is in this natural realm, but understanding that in you we can be in the heavens and we can be in the earth. As you clearly stated while you spoke to Nicodemus, that no one has ascended into the heavens but he that came down from the heavens, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. You had a heavenly presence in an earthly existence. And you say the same thing about us. But somehow, some way, even though we know it in our minds, in the natural, we have not, in so many ways, been transformed to that reality so that we are living in both realms at the same time, recognizing, just like Jacob, God was here and I did not know it, because he saw angels ascending and descending up the ladder. Heaven and earth met in one place. And Lord, oh God, we tap into that grace even now, that heaven and earth be the reality that we live in. So, Lord, oh God, that there is a constant logistical transfer, oh God, of information, of freight from the heavens to the earth, that we lack nothing. We lack nothing. Everything is provided for. We are amazed because you are an awesome God. Father, let it be so unto us according to thy word. Grant us, O God, supernatural wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may walk as your sons and your daughters in the earth. Walk like God works. Your name exalted, your name praised, your name adored, as men behold and say, this is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our sight. So let it be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I have Brother John Bisan today. Well, Brother John, bless you. Thank you for sharing this time with us this evening. Let us all come and let's honor God with our giving. Love you, my brother. Blessings. Blessings. Amen.